Well, good morning, 11 o'clock service. How are we doing today? Good. Awesome. Who was here last week for the kickoff of this? Cool. If you weren't, get prepared. They came back, so that's awesome. Thanks for coming back. Powerful kickoff to the series, really diving into some truths. You know, Josiah was praying about that. I wanted to quickly thank those of you who encouraged and prayed for me throughout the week last week. And I want to kind of preface like I did before the last service. I knew going into this week we were going to, what I was going to be talking about. We're going to talk about it. But as I was doing that, like, I don't know if it was based off of what I talked about last week and the enemy attacking, or, and it could be a mixed bag, God trying to just show me that, hey, what I'm about to preach, it better be something that you're living as well. So I'm going to test you in this. So I say that to say that, and I said this to the first service, I'm not as prepared as I normally like to be, because my week has been difficult. It's been trying. It's been different in some senses. With all that being said, here's what the Spirit told me today, is that even though I may not be prepared for certain circumstances or situations, the Holy Spirit always is, and God's Word always is. And so I'm thankful for that. So today I pray that and God's Word would speak and His Spirit would speak through me in my weakness. Today I want to give you kind of the secret to safeguarding your relationships, the secret to safeguarding your family, and it's one word, and the word is peace. It's peace, and we're going to talk all about that. John 14:27 says this: "Peace I leave with you." And this is Jesus talking. "My perfect peace I give to you." And it's not as the world gives, and that's really important to understand. "Not as the world gives to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every situation, in every circumstance, and give you courage and strength for every challenge." And so this week, as I was trying to prepare, and I was wanting to come up and share about peace and what that peace looks like and how I tap into that peace and showcase that peace, the enemy's like, okay, let's see how peaceful you really are. Let's see if, you know, what you're going to preach is really true. And so in the midst of all of this stuff, I'm trying to prepare and I'm trying to share, and the enemy was just attacking. And so I don't know what your week was like. I don't know if you feel attacked. I don't know, but today I want to challenge you, and I want to talk to you, and I want to help you understand the importance of peace. Now, for those of you who don't know, my family, we roll deep. We're at 10 strong right now. We got 8 kids currently. And so here's the reality. Anytime we roll up to a place, you kind of get these big eyes, these looks, okay? If you're going to invite us to a party, guess what? We are the party. And so, like, if no one else showed up and we came, you're solid. And so I think sometimes that's why we get invited. Just, it's kind of like a safety. But like if we're going to go out to a restaurant, and we don't do it often, but if we're going to go out to a restaurant with our family, man, we roll up in our 15-passenger van, we get out, like, you can just tell people are like, here we go. All right. You know, like they're like, you're paying each other, who wants this table? You know, and it's like, you look at our family and you say, this is going to be crazy. This is going to be chaotic. This is going to be a mess. Years ago, we were on vacation and we were stopping somewhere. We wanted to get breakfast and we decided to go into an IHOP. And like, there were like 3 customers in there. It wasn't super busy. We roll up. At that time, I think we had our 5, and we stood there. I kid you not, for like 10 minutes, and no one came and said anything to us. Like, we could clearly see people. And I think they would rather us leave than have to serve us, because they're just like, this is not worth it, right? And so I think, you know, as you think about, you know, a family having 8 kids, and like, if you have kids and you're like, I got this one, and this one, like, honestly makes me want to go crazy. How are you doing it with 8? And people were like, they say to me sometimes, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it with all those kids. I don't know how you really honestly keep your sanity. How do you do that? And I think, and you look at it from outside and be like, man, that's a lot. I can honestly say to you right now, it's not as crazy, it's not as chaotic, and it's not as dysfunctional as you may think. Now, don't get me wrong. When there are 8 kids, varying ages, toddler to teen, which is about the same thing. Anyway, sorry, I love you kids. There's a lot of different demands and competing voices and competing personalities. And so, like, there is just the normalcy of having kids. And yes, there are a lot of them. And maybe I'm blind, but I can honestly say and look at my family, like, we, even though we are big, we are a family that overall is a family of peace. Is there moments where there's a tantrum? Is there moments where things are straight kooky-doo? Yes. But the overall theme is a family of peace. And again, that's, I think the enemy was like, let's really see how peaceful it can be this week when I try to throw everything at you and see if you can really tap into what you're going to be telling your people to do. And so we have a family of peace, and it's a family of 10. And people always say, I don't know how you guys keep doing it, how you keep adding. It's by God's grace and by God's peace. And that really is it. How do we do it? Where does this peace come from? In our family, the peace comes from a mom and a dad who focus on the most important relationship. And that's not with each other. And the most important relationship is not with their kids. The most important relationship for me is God. God comes before me in my wife's life. God comes before my wife in my life. God comes before my kids. Because I need him. I need his peace. I need his understanding. I need his calm. I need his grace. I need his mercy. And I need his forgiveness as I enter into these moments and these experiences that I have with my kids and with others. So that's the most important relationship. And from that relationship with God, we get peace. And so that's, I say the secret is peace. And it's prioritizing our time with God and who we are with God and making sure that he's first on the list, not second, not third, not fourth, he's number one. And that's where the peace comes from. Scripture is clear on this. If you want to gain peace, you got to set your heart and you got to set your mind on God. And that's not a weekly thing. That's not a monthly thing. Honestly, it's a daily thing. It's an hourly thing. It's a every moment matters type of thing. Focusing our heart and our mind on God. There are multiple scriptures that talk about this. I want to give you three right now. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. It says, set your minds on things above, not on what is on the earth. And let the peace of the Messiah, to which you were also called in one body, control your heart. So we see the peace is for our mind and for our hearts. That's what we're talking about guarding. Romans 8, 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, worldly things. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, godly things. To set the mind on the flesh leads to death, chaos, destruction, turmoil. To set the mind on the Spirit, what does that bring? It brings life, and it brings peace. It's where our heart and where our mind is going in the midst of blessing, in the midst of hardship. Last one is Isaiah 26, 3. A mind and heart set on God is peaceful, and it's trusting heart. So we get this peace, and I need it. My wife needs it. We individually need to make sure in our relationships that we are guarding our hearts and minds with God's Spirit and with God's truth. Last week, I talked about God's roles in the family, and I believe that God intended for man to lead his family spiritual. He should be the spiritual leader of his family. And so what that means is it's not the wife's job to carry the family spiritually. It's not the wife's job to make sure that the kids get to church. It's not the wife's job. It's not her faith. It's not her devotion. It's not her prioritization of her relationship with God that is going to bring you peace. Your job is to have your relationship with God, and that brings you peace. And so what that means is in each of our lives, you got to fight for that on your own. Your relationship with God is your relationship with God to own on your own. You can't just piggyback off of your mom and dad. You can't just piggyback off of your friend. You can't just piggyback off of your spouse. Here's my fear. My fear is that for many men, and I've been picking on men, and I'm probably going to continue to do that because honestly, like, we live in a world where men are passive and not leading the way that they should, so that's why I'm coming at you. But this could be true for women as well, but many men, and I think many children are in danger of one day meeting their maker and him saying to them, hey, like, tell me what you did for me. Tell me how you love me. And the response is going to be, well, my mom did the church stuff and read her Bible and went to church every week. Or a husband will say, well, yeah, no, my wife, she, you know, she went and she had the kids there and like she did the devotionals with them and she prayed with them. And like I sometimes heard and sometimes participated and sometimes acted like I cared. But isn't that enough? No, because you're not saved, sanctified, and justified by association. That's not how it works. Each of us is called to own our own faith. We're saved, sanctified, and justified by our own personal surrender and devotion to Jesus Christ. And so that means it's up to each of us to seek his will daily, to set our hearts and minds on him daily, to guard our hearts and minds from the attacks of the enemy. And this is something, if you're a parent, you need to be doing in your own life individually, and then you come together as a unit because the two are joined together as one, and you do this for your family, and you model this for your kids. And you teach them how to combat the attacks of the enemy. And we get this peace that surpasses all understanding. But it covers so many more things, especially in your children's lives. Did you know that anxiety and depression are at an all-time high? Suicide rates are at an all-time high. And it's seen more in teenagers and in young adults. And the reason this is, and I'm just going to, this is for next week, but I honestly believe that one of the main culprits of this is social media. And as parents, we are enabling our students to enter into that by giving them access to that. That's going to be next week, so come next week. But I'm very passionate about this. It's a thing where their hearts and minds are being filled with garbage by the world's standards, by how the world is trying to identify them. And when they don't live up to the world's standards, they think themselves worthless, and that leads into depression, suicidal thoughts, anxiety, all that stuff. And so as parents, not only are we called to guard our hearts and minds, but we need to be so guarded and so set up and have the peace of God within us that it is then protecting our children. I'm going to get into that in just a minute. It's up to each of us to guard our own hearts. And as a parent, you got to be responsible. You are responsible for the children that God gave you to shepherd. You ready for this? It is not the kids ministry's job. It is not the youth pastor's job. It is not the church's job to shepherd your kids spiritually. Want to know whose job that is? Yours. God gave you and God blessed you with those children. Now, what we are here to do is come alongside you as you shepherd your kids in the ways of the Lord. Because at the end of the day, do you know how many hours we get with your kids? About one. Sometimes two, some of you do three when you go to lunch and you try to come back around 1 o'clock to pick your kids up. I'm just kidding, no one does that. But our time with your kids is limited. Youth ministry, it's 1 hour, 2 hours. The rest of the time is you. And to be real, majority of their time, depending on where they is with their peers. And so that the time that you have, parents, with your kids, you better be very, very intentional about how you are helping them put up safeguards in their own life. Anyway, that's next week. We're gonna talk about that next week. But it's the job of the church to come alongside you. Just like you can't pawn your faith off on somebody else, you also can't pawn the faith of your children off on anyone else. Your faith is yours to own. And you only have a short period of time to help raise your kids and show your kids what it looks like to live a godly life. I mean, if you have a kid who's in their teens or had just moved out, like, you understand how quickly that time went by. And I'm sure you look back and you wish you did things differently, but it is such a short period of time. And we got to make sure that we are guarding that. So we're talking about this and how it's, you know, we got to have this piece. We got to set up this piece. I wonder, how are you doing that? How are you doing that in your own life? How are you doing that for your kid's life? Again, the father should be the spiritual leader. This should be the man who is in the God's word every single day and sharing that with his wife and sharing that with his kids. He should be, you know, leading the charge and getting them to church. He should be leading the way spiritually. Now, mom's coming alongside and doing the same thing. Both can lead spiritually, and both parents have a role in the spiritual development of their children. And so at the end of the day, is your heart and your mind focused on God to bring you peace personally so that you can bring peace to your family? Philippians 4, verse 7 says this, and the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will what? Will guard your hearts and guard your minds in Christ Jesus. This is a big verse, kind of a core verse for us here at Kairos. It is the verse that helps explain our logo. So if you don't know what our logo, it's on my shirt. It's a circle. It has two arrows. I like to jokingly say that we have two because Elevation has one and we wanted to be better than them. Elevation Church, anybody? No, okay. It's a joke. So when people ask, well, you know, what does that mean? And we teach this in our Moment Maker training. This is just, it's a daily reminder to this. One of the arrows represents your heart. The other arrow represents your mind. And when our heart and our mind are focused on God, we get a peace that surpasses all understanding that does what? That guards our heart and our mind. And so our logo is a constant reminder to say, hey, where's your heart and mind focus right here and right now? Do you have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding? And so what's really cool is I was thinking about this and about how this, it kind of embodies God 3-in-1. We got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so last week I talked about this and how this is this model that we get from God and from the Trinity and how it kind of correlates over into family where we have God the Father, and then we got the Holy Spirit, representative of the Mother, and then we have Jesus who is the Son. And so there's this 3-in-1-ness that's going on, and it comes into play here as well. And so here's what I realize is that inside this and within the family realm is we have one of the arrows represents mom. One of the arrows represents dad. And when mom and dad have their heart and mind focused on God, both of them, they are in alignment with him. And guess what? The family gets everybody, this peace. Now, check out what happens if dad's alignment is off, his heart and mind is not focused, that peace gets broken and attacks come in varying different ways. Same thing for mom. If there's a moment where, or something's going on, or there's a season where the heart and mind is not focused and we're not intentional about that, there is weakness. The other thing about this is not, so we get this protection as a whole, but there are layers of protection as we individually focus our heart and mind on God. Because when dad's doing it, he is putting up this barrier for his kids. So any of the attacks that come that maybe get through, dad's there to put up that protection, to safeguard his kids. Same thing for mom. And so you have the mom whose heart and mind is focused on peace, and a dad whose heart and mind is focused on God and gets the peace. And there's this protection that's taking place where we are safeguarding from the attacks of the enemy. And the attacks will come. The enemy's not going to let up. He's going to attack us in varying different ways with culture attacks and selfishness and lies and sexuality and apathy and greed and idleness. All those attacks are coming in. And so each of us, as parents, as adults, we are called to focus our heart and mind on God so that in our own life, we have that peace that is protecting us. And then we know that our wife, and we're making sure that our wife or our significant other is doing the same so that she has the peace that is protecting her. And then when we come together, we get this just big old peace that's protecting all of us, protecting our kids, protecting our relationships. You see how this works? It's so important for all of us to have our heart and mind focused on God so that we can set up these safeguards for those that we are in care of or in relationship with or who we love. So a father and a mother with a heart and mind focused on God, they safeguard their family with God's peace, and it's so important. And there, here's the deal. There may be moments, a moment of weakness, a moment of temptation, and let's say, you know, mom, her alignment is off, or something's going on, and it's just not where it needs to be, and a weakness comes in. If dad is good, guess what dad can do? He can step in and be that protection for her, and vice versa. Where if dad has a moment of weakness or a moment of temptation, and his heart and mind are not where they need to be, and mom is good, then all these layers of protection, all these safeguards are so important. And it's the same for our kids. And we want to make sure that we're setting up these safeguards. And so that's what we're going to talk about, setting safeguards in our life. I got three safeguards that I want to give you again. We're talking about peace, and we're talking about setting our heart and mind on God. And so these all derive from the word set. And so it's kind of an acronym for each one of the safeguards that I want to give you. And the first safeguard is your standards. You got to safeguard your standards. And I'm talking about your standards specifically as an adult. I'm not into the kids yet. I'm talking about you. We're talking about your heart and your mind and your standards. Romans 12, 2, I shared this with you last week. I'll probably share it every single week. This is a different translation, but it says this: do not conform yourself to the standards of this world. Other translations say, do not conform yourself to this age. Do not conform yourself to the patterns of this world. What's it saying? Don't conform to culture's standards. Don't live by culture's standards or worldly standards. As a matter of fact, you're called to say goodbye to them. Toss those things in the garbage. Because here's what Romans 8, 7, 8 says, that a mind set on the flesh equals death. Here it goes. Verse 7, Romans 8. For the mind set on the flesh is hostile to God. I think it's really important to understand. You know what hostility means, right? It's not just something that we're doing and like it's not a big deal. No, 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 no. This is hostility towards God. This is an affront towards God. This is an attack on him. A mindset on the flesh, a mindset on cultural things, on worldly things, on sinful, selfish things is hostile to God because it does not submit itself to God's law, to God's ways, to God's word, to what God has for us, for it is unable to do so. Ready for this? Those who are in the flesh, those who are living by culture's standards, the worldly standards or selfish standards, they cannot please God. And it's pretty cut and dry. There's no getting around that. It's not like, well, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take some of the things of culture because like these things kind of seem like they're all right. And I'm going to try to take some of the things of God's standards and I'm going to try to mix those. No. From what Romans 8 just said, that's hostility towards God. And if you try to live in both, you cannot please God. And so many Christians try to do this because they don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. They don't want to step on anyone's toes, but they're willing to let go of God's standards in order to do so. And when you're willing to let go of God's standards, guess what goes with it? God's peace. And so we got to make sure that we are putting up safeguards for our standards. Just because culture says it's okay to do so doesn't mean it is. I mean, and this is on so many different levels. And I don't really have time to get into it, but culture says that a lot of things are okay to do. But just because it does, it doesn't mean we should. And here's the reality. When we surrendered our life to God, right, as we said he's going to be the Lord and Savior of our life, guess what we committed to do? We committed to live by God's standards, not the world's. Because when you weren't surrendered and committed to God, guess whose standards you were living by? The world's. And so when you turn away from that, which is repentance, and you turn to God, you're saying, God, I realize as I was living by the world standards, I was living in sin and that was an affront to you. Now I'm leaving that, I'm repenting of that, and I'm turning to you and I'm gonna commit to live by your standards. All of them, not just some of them. So we don't live by the world standards. We don't live by what culture says okay. You ready for this? We don't live by our family's standards. We don't live by our family's traditions. We don't live by our peers' standards. We are called to live by God's standards. And guess what? God's standards will always come up against what the culture says is okay. There may be times, and there may be something right now, where God's standards come up against your family standards. There are going to be times when God's standards come up against your friends and your peers, and instead of folding in compromising, you got to stand firm on the truth of God's word. You love them, and you stand on this. It's not an opinion. It's not something that you just say, you know what, I think this is right. No, no, no. It's God's word. And we stand in God's word, and we stand on his standards. And so in Romans 1:28, it says this: because those people refuse to keep in mind the true knowledge about God, because the people refuse to keep God's standards, he's given them over to corrupted minds so that they do the things that they should not do. If you're willing to compromise, if you're willing to make little adjustments, if you're willing to allow the world's standards to come in and compromise godly standards, God will give you over to a corrupted mind, and he'll give you over to the things that you want to do. And when God does that, you're going to wish you never compromised. When God removes kind of his presence in his love from your life, when he turns his face from you, it's not a place you're going to want to be. So we're called to put to death worldly standards. And we get this from Colossians 3. I'm going to read through a couple of verses here. Colossians 3, 5. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your worldly nature. Cultural, worldly standards. What do we got? Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed. And it says, which is idolatry. And it's all of these things are idolatry. Remember what I said last week, 1 Corinthians 10? What did 1 Corinthians 10 tell us to do? It said to flee, to run from idolatry. And the other thing it said to flee from was sexual immorality. It's not, hey, I'm gonna kind of tiptoe the line between sexual immorality and God's word. It doesn't say to do that. We're not gonna try to teeter-totter. It says if you see that, if that is going on, run from it. It is not okay. Be done with it. It goes on in Colossians 3:8. Put away all the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, filthy language from your mouth. Worldly standards. A lot of these things the world says is okay. It's not a big deal. Chase after these things. Let these things be your God. This says, put those things to death. And instead, it comes into Colossians 3:10. It says to put on. And what's really cool here is that last week we talked about Ephesians. We talked about being passive idle men. And instead of being passive idle men, we need to be active. And I talked about putting on the armor of God. This is the same language here. It says to put on the new self. We are made new. We are transformed. We are redeemed by Jesus. That's what it's talking about. In our new committed life to him, we're to put on a new self, being renewed in our knowledge according to the image of our creator. Verse 12. Therefore, God's chosen ones, holy and loved. Here it is again. Put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, accepting one another and forgiving one another if anyone has complaint against one another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Verse 14. Above all, here it is again. Put on, take action, love. Love is the perfect bond of unity. And let the what? The peace of the Messiah, to which you were also called in one body, control your hearts. So we take the world standards and we put them to death. And in place of it, we put God's standards. All the things that are listed here. And when we do that in our heart and in our mind, what do we get? Peace. Peace in our life, peace in our relationships, peace for our family. So we got to make sure that we are safeguarding our standards. Examine them. Look at them. How have you been compromising God's standards with worldly standards? Second thing, this is the E in set. Safeguard your entertainment. Ooh, this is a fun one. I'm about to come at y'all, okay? Get ready. Don't leave. It's going to be good. You can leave if you want. I'm not going to keep you here. Anyway, Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh, think about the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, think about the things of the Spirit. Oftentimes, we don't look at our entertainment as anything that's going to hurt us, but as we watch it, as we consume it, we begin to allow it to infiltrate our hearts and our minds, and we begin to live it out. And it starts slow, bigger, 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 until it's out of our control. That's how sin works. I don't know if you knew that or not. That's how the enemy works. He likes to lie to you and say it's not a bad thing, and then when you do it, it turns into this huge, big thing, and then he likes to throw it in your face and say, why would you do that? You're horrible, and he tears you down. Anyway, that's how sin works. Now, months ago, at the beginning of the year, we went through a series called Preach Grace, and God gave me this revelation that said this, that personal conviction is not gospel revelation or is not gospel truth. Oftentimes, and I've been guilty of this, and I know other people, we, as Christians, we have experiences, we go through convictions, and we think things that happen to us or the way that we live is meant to be for everybody. But God is personally convicting us of something that we struggle with, and he needs us to take care of it, and then we like to throw that on there. Personal conviction is not gospel truth. And so I wanted to relay that to you, because I'm about to share some things with you that our personal conviction, and this is the struggle for me as a pastor, because I have a hard time sometimes kind of seeing what is meant for me, and God, what are you trying to teach the congregation? And so just know that I really wrestle with this and struggle with this, but I know I also need to share from my own personal conviction as well. So I have this personal conviction. You ready? I don't watch anything that's TVMA. And I didn't share this last service, but it's really funny that it's TV mature. And honestly, like when you really think about it, who really is mature? And I was also thinking about this, like, are you really spiritually mature enough to watch TVMA stuff? Because I think if you were spiritually mature, you actually wouldn't be watching it. Ooh. So if we look at TVMA, you know, it says it right there, and oftentimes it tells you what's in it. What do we got? Violence. And if it's TVMA for violence, people are losing their heads and stuff. You know what I'm saying? There's just blood squirting everywhere, and it's just like, it infiltrates. Okay, so violence. Language. And if it's TVMA for language, you know there's like 800 F words in there, right? Like right off the bat. 3 minutes, F, 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 all over the place, right? You're like, oh my gosh, I'm overwhelmed by all of that. And then what's the real big one? Sexual immorality or nudity. And, you know, we know that. And we see that. But we're adults. And now we can watch TVMA stuff because we're mature. I don't know who decided that for you. Because listen, I'm 40 years old and I'm a child, okay? Like, ask my mom, okay? I am the same today as I was when I was six. And I lost my hair then and I'm losing my hair now. Okay, that's another fun story. That she left me one day and I lost my hair. Ask her about that. Sorry, I'm getting derailed. So that's my personal conviction. I don't watch TVMA stuff. And as I think about it, what am I doing? Because TVMA stuff, it has those things in it. And so what I'm doing when I say, you know what, I'm not going to watch those things, I'm putting up a safeguard that is preventative. I do not want to allow sexual immorality or just unnecessary violence or just horrible language that isn't necessary into my heart, into my mind. And so I don't do those things. I don't, like, you think about sexual immorality. If there's sexual immorality in a show and it says it and the Bible says to flee from it, what should you do? Ah, but we don't, because we're mature and we can handle it. And our internet history says otherwise. Oh, yeah, shots fired. It's just a little bit. Leads to a whole lot. We say, I don't know how I got here. Well, what were you consuming? What were you allowing to infiltrate your heart and your mind? So I say it's a personal conviction, but y'all know it's biblically founded from 1 Corinthians 6 and 1 Corinthians 10 that says to flee from these things. So let me ask you this. What is your heart and your mind consuming? Really, at the end of the day, how is your entertainment bringing you closer to God? How is your entertainment holding up to God's standards? This is something we can probably do here. Let's take and put the entertainment that you watch up against the six things that are attacking relationships, families, and marriages. I gave those to you last week. It was porn, it was homosexuality, it was abortion, it was passiveness and idleness. When I say passiveness and idleness, as far as entertainment goes, it means how much time are you spending on entertainment? The other one was selfishness, and then, of course, biblical illiteracy. Now, when I get into entertainment and biblical illiteracy, I'm talking about, like, we can get into, like, false teachers, false prophets, people that like to tickle our ears and make us feel good about ourselves but aren't actually biblically founded. And I could start naming off a few, but I won't because I don't want to hurt your feelings. We love to listen to things that encourage us and bring us prosperity and bring us blessing, but when we hear the truth, we push away. And with social media, with the internet, there are a lot of false teachers and false gospels that are preaching things that are not godly, but are worldly. And you need to guard against that. When I talk about biblical illiteracy, it's things that take God's word out of context. It'll be entertainment that is mocking of God's word or God's character or God's son or God's people or God's church. If it does any of that, it'll teach things counter to God's word. Oftentimes, the entertainment will showcase evil as good and good as evil. And oh, do we live in a culture that's doing that right now on just massive levels? And then the other one will be just entertainment that has evil in it for the sake of evil. You know what I've noticed in the past years, and maybe it's always been like this, but Hollywood and directors, so many people are trying to make heroes out of villains. And showcasing what they're doing and how they're doing it as something that we should applaud and support and celebrate. And we do it, and we think nothing of it. Put your entertainment up against those things. Because really, at the end of the day, oftentimes, entertainment will attempt to normalize or justify sin. Normalize and justify and get you to compromise God's standards for worldly ones. So, does your entertainment affirm, support, encourage, or as Romans 1 puts it, applaud evil? This is what Romans 1:32 says. Although they know full well God's just sentence, those who practice such things deserve to die. They not only do them, but even applaud others who practice them. You can take that for however you want. We can look into the, you know, Hebrew or the Greek of applaud if you want to. But I think we can read it and see what this is saying to us. So are you supporting, encouraging, and applauding evil? God or cultural standards over godly ones? If yes, if even a hint of your entertainment is yes, I would encourage you to cut it. Just cut it. If yes, begin to examine your entertainment. Did you know that you can go online and you can read reviews about any show, any movie? Before you ever allow those things to enter your heart and mind, you can put a stop to it. But we don't. Because here's why most of us aren't willing to let go of our entertainment. Because we don't want to miss out on the conversation. Well, everyone else is watching it. Everyone else is talking about it. And I don't want to show up and not be able to laugh with them or understand the reference. So I have to watch it. And I don't want to miss the next season. And we have this fear of missing out. And in our fear of missing out, we're willing to compromise God's standards for worldly ones. So I would begin to examine those things. Personal conviction. I got to hurry up here. I'm almost done. I only got one more. Another personal conviction of mine. And I want you to hear this, okay? And know, when Stranger Things 4 came out, I stopped watching it after season one. I probably shouldn't even have watched season one. We were committed. Everyone else was in. My daughter Delaney was watching it with us. But it gotten to a point where it was evil for the sake of evil. And it moved from kids playing a game and dealing with a monster to demonic possession and evil for the sake of evil. And so for me, there is no Stranger Things season 4. I stopped at 3, and as I think about it, maybe I should have never gone to any of them. Personal conviction. I'm not telling you that you should stop watching that or anything. I just want to tell you that these are safeguards I'm setting up in my life. Because for my daughter, who's watching that with me, if I allow her to do that, I'm not safeguarding her heart and her mind either. And maybe, just maybe, I'm at a place where I'm mature enough spiritually to not allow that to infiltrate my heart and my mind. But my kids are watching. My kids are listening. And if I'm willing to allow it to enter their heart and mind, they see that as okay. So we got to set up our safeguards in our entertainment. And I know it's going to be hard to miss out, and I know it's going to be hard to not be a part of the conversation, but let's be honest. A new show is going to come out tomorrow. There will always be another movie. There will always be something new. Find ones that aren't, you know, against God's word and against God's standard, and talk about those. Why don't you change the conversation? Be a part of the conversation that's going to lead people to Him in His ways. And talk about that. I got to move on to the last one. Entertainment's big, though. It's big for your own heart and your own mind. You may not think it. You may think you're mature enough for it. But it's a big part of it. And as you set those safeguards up in your life, it's going to be the same for your kids. Safeguard your time is the third one, third and final one. We have to make sure we're safeguarding our time. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep the mind that is dependent on you in perfect peace, for it is trusting you. So if we're depending on Him, what that means? It means we're going to Him daily. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on what is above, not on what is on earth. So in order to set our minds on what is above, we got to go to this, we got to come here, we got to experience the Spirit. So my question to you is this, is do you have daily time set aside to spend with God? Not weekly time, not just random time that happens when you're free or available. Time set aside to spend with God. Time with God in His Word, time with God in prayer, time with God in worship, time with God with other people. Time that is set aside. If you don't, set it up and then make it a non-negotiable. You see, oftentimes, we like to make our plans and just God finds His way in the mix around our plans. Don't remove your time with God for your plans. Make it the other way around. Make it a non-negotiable. Now, I know there will be times and seasons and circumstances where it can't be non-negotiable, but if you have it up as the majority of the time where you're fighting for this every single day, you're going to safeguard your time, and as you safeguard your time with God, you will have peace. Your heart and your mind will be focused on Him. So you got to do that. Time is one of my personal struggles. Safeguarding it, protecting it, making sure that I'm not being distracted by things that I shouldn't do. And oftentimes the enemy's really tricky because I'll set up time and I'll do these things, and then I get really distracted by these little things. And they're not bad things. And oftentimes the enemy uses the good work that I do in the church, but he gets me to focus on something that I'm not supposed to so he can keep me from what God has for me to do. And he'll do this in your life. He'll get you focused on things. He'll get you distracted by things. And so you got to, in your heart and your mind, you got to set up these safeguards that say, no, I am protecting this. I'm going to stick to this so that I can obey God's will for my life. And as I obey God's will for my life, I can live that out in my life and bring peace to my relationship with Him, bring peace to my relationship with my spouse, my significant other, or even my kids. As you spend your time, the things you spend your time on, where you make priorities, that's going to be what you value most. And your family's watching, and your kids are watching. Our kids are watching and listening much more than we give them credit for, or much more than they tend to admit, right? They are. And they're picking things up, and they're hearing our conversations to the point to where you'll hear them say something, and they're like, man, I don't know where they heard that from me. They're watching. They're listening. What do you value? If you don't value your time in the Bible, if you don't value your time at church, if you don't value your time in community with other believers, if you don't value time with accountability, neither will your kids. They're watching. They watch what you watch. They say what you say. They love what you love. Point in case. How many of you guys are, and women are sports fans? Love sports? Got a favorite sports team? Yeah, I hate sports. I don't really care. Sorry. But here's the deal. You ready? I'm not a huge sports fan. I honestly, I could care less. I can be competitive. I like, hanging out and doing competitive things. But for sports, I just don't care. But I can tell you what my favorite team is. It's the Gators. I don't care. I don't watch any of it. But my favorite team is the Gators. Do you want to know why my favorite team is the Gators? My dad's favorite team was the Gators. He watched it all the time. He had Gator hats and Gator shoes and Gator shirts and Gator everything. He valued that, and I saw that he valued that. And because my dad valued that, I valued that. And again, I don't even care, but if you were to ask me who my team was, I would say the Gators. I don't care, but that's my team. And if you're a Seminole fan, you can kick bricks, you know? So, if that's the case, and I wonder what it would look like if dads began to have as much passion and zeal and dedication to the Lord. You know what would happen is their kids would see it, and when they grow up, when they saw dad spending time in church, when they saw dad spending time in the Word, when they saw dad spending time in prayer, when they saw dad spending time with other people, encouraging and helping them, that's what they're going to live out. And they will not depart from it. That's scriptural. Train up a child in the way of the Lord, and they will not. We have got to make sure, as adults, because listen, whether you're a parent or not, someone is looking up to you. And it could be a peer. It could be a little brother or sister. It could be someone in your workplace. They're looking up to you. They're watching. They're looking. See how you respond to certain situations. When things get tough, when things get difficult, when hardship comes, Because you know what? Having peace, it doesn't mean we won't have hardship or conflict or difficult times. No. Having peace means that we are ready and prepared that when those times come, it won't derail us because we have hope in our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to show our kids. And if we want to show that to our kids, to our spouse, to our significant other, to our family, and to our friends, we got to set up safeguards. We guard our heart and our mind, and we safeguard our standards, we safeguard our entertainment, we safeguard our time, which allows us to gain that peace that surpasses all understanding, to protect those we love, and get God's protection over all of us. I'm going to ask that you guys would bow your heads, close your eyes. And I just want to turn it to you, and I'm sure the Spirit's been working and the Spirit's been moving, and maybe you've already been processing, maybe you already wrote this down, but maybe not, and maybe you need some clarity, so maybe I can help bring that for you. The first question you need to ask yourself is, what is the focus of my heart and my mind? Where do I spend the majority of my thoughts? Another question you should ask yourself is, are my standards worldly or godly? And honestly, I wouldn't even say more worldly or more godly, because at the end of the day, like, there is no in between. And so if you find yourself in the in between, that's something the Spirit's telling you need to work on. As far as entertainment goes, what does your entertainment say about your character, about your heart, about your mind? What does it say about your relationship with God? What does your entertainment say to others who know that you're a Christ follower? Last, does your time spent reflect someone who is actively seeking out God in spirit and in truth? Truth is, we all have work to do. No matter where you're at in your spiritual journey, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, we all have work to do in setting up safeguards, and we always will. Because as we see the attacks, we'll have safeguards up, and the enemy will try to find another weakness, and we build that safeguard up, and we build the net, and we'll always have to keep doing that. So I would encourage you today, however the Spirit's working, however the Spirit's moving, whatever He is challenging you to, it may lead to a radical life change, but isn't that who Jesus was and what Jesus did? Radical transformation. Godly, holy transformation. Where we live set apart. That's what holiness is. We live set apart from culture, cultural standards, what the culture believes to be true. And we live holy, and we live by God's word, and we live by God's standards. God, right now, I pray for the hearts and minds of the people who are in here listening. I know these are hard truths to hear. Even harder so to make the adjustments to put them in place. God, remind them that they're not alone. That as you call them to it, you will equip them for it. That if they have surrendered their heart and mind to you, they have been given the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome any of the attacks and any of the things that the world is weighing us down with. Let them make a commitment today to recognize the things that need to be changed and rely on you to make the adjustments to live out their life with their heart and mind focused on you. God, if they're experiencing an overwhelming amount of turmoil and conflict and hardship and its lacking of peace, God, I pray that you would remind them today that you are the author and sustainer of peace and life. And so whatever they're trying to carry, whatever they're trying to hold on to, whatever they're trying to do on their own, whatever they feel overwhelmed by, God, that they would just, they would give it to you. Spend time in your word and your promises and singing out your praises, because you are good. And when we set our heart and our mind on you, your word promises to bring us peace. Not just us, but peace in our relationships, peace for our families, and peace for our children. And I desire that for each and every one here. I thank you for your word today. Thank you for speaking today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us a word that is challenging and encouraging all in the same. Thank you for giving us your Son and the Holy Spirit. And through him and by him, we become more and more like you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.